Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime...
I was bougie from an early age, guys.
I'm the stalker, guys.
Oh my god, but you're trying to put levity in. It's good.
It's the YMCA.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Guys, welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Why do I sound so giddy? It's because this is our first studio recording in over 2 years.
Yes!
So I could not be more excited to announce our guest, who's right next to me, instead of on a friggin' screen. See, I could just rant and rant about what we've been through, but I'm not going to, Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, lovely to see you.
We've got presenter, journalist, and DJ. It's Lauren Layfield. Yay!
This is so much better than those bastard Zooms, isn't it?
Oh, allowed yes. to swear on this.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh good. Yes.
Okay. So much swearing.
Oh, great.
So much
you are
swearing.
So 3D right now. This is incredible.
Honestly,
you've
got
to
so
watch
happy.
Yourself on the radio, so you must be used to just a little bit of...
Yeah, that is the problem. And I'm quite sweary by nature
you
as
are.
Well. Mm. And I also come from kids' television, which
oh,
you know,
wow.
that was a tough period of my life.
Do you know what? I write scripts for kids' television.
Do
I
you?
Still sometimes put swear words. No, I don't.
Paddington fucks off. Oh my gosh. Well, we always open the show with... Honestly, guys, I'm so excited. I'm
just she is looking, so excited. Look at her face.
I mean, we are filming this. So we probably won't release this part because I'm already embarrassed for myself. But I'm just gazing across the table at all of you. Cheers. We
cheers.
Survived a crazy
oh,
period.
Welcome oh. back, you guys.
Oh. Survived a crazy period. I'm in the middle of a crazy period, which is why I'm acting like this. Oh... We always start the show the same way, Lauren, is that is to ask our guest, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
So I always think that anyone who makes me a victim of crime must be a really nasty piece of work, because I am 5'1", and can I just say adorable. So for me to be a victim of crime, that's quite hard, you know, for the general public to take. But I have. Do you remember when we could actually go travelling, guys? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
All those giddy years ago before COVID was a thing. So I went to...
You mean the trains that go up in the sky?
Oh, do you remember those? They were so good, weren't they? So I went to... I did the classic student... Thailand, Vietnam,
oh,
nice. Cambodia.
Yes, oh,
great, great time of my life. And there was this one time we went to Ho Chi Minh City, it was in South Vietnam, and we'd come out of the station there and we had to get to our hotel. And we weren't really roughing it. We were going in hotel.
Say, yeah, hotel. No, come on, give me a hostel.
No, there was no S in that word.
I was bougie from an early age, guys.
Complete respect.
So I got a taxi to the hotel.
Fucking hell, you're
I was tired. So I got this taxi, and I don't know if you know, but in Vietnam the currency is mad. Like it's like we paid for this taxi something like 2 million Vietnamese dong, which is already hilarious that their currency is called dong. I don't want to cause any offence, but that is very funny. It was like 2 million, and so I thought, oh, that's going to be like a few quid, because everything's cheap, you know, in Cambodia and Thailand. All food's cheap, travel is cheap, hotels are cheap. 4 minute journey around the corner to the hotel.
Oh, no.
Got out, paid in my 2 mil, went back to the hotel, and we just sat there on the edge of the bed going, I think we got ripped off. How much is that? Get your phone out. No, I'm going to have to use the Wi-Fi. No. Get your phone out. Let's check how much it is. Translation, 2 million Vietnamese dong is about £80 for a four-minute taxi journey.
No. That is £20 per minute. Repeat, £20 per minute. Wow.
This was years ago, and it still breaks my actual heart.
That's like all your spending money for like a 2 week holiday,
gone.
Isn't it? You're like, yeah.
100%. Like, I think we only took about £500 for the whole of the month.
Good.
Oh, my goodness.
Good.
I can totally get on board with that mentality, though. Like, the number's going to be really big, and there's no way to figure out just how big it should be, especially when you're new there. I would have done the same thing.
And it sort of feels like Monopoly money, doesn't it? Because it's sort of almost so big, it's not real. You know, so you like to spend it.
Guernsey recently, and Guernsey has...
£80 taxis.
Yeah. It's a fucking rip-off. No, it has like their own money, and it's still like, yeah, it's like it's
Does
different.
Does it have the
towers.
Queen on it?
But the Queen's on it. She's on it, and but it's exactly the same.
But she has a holiday hat on.
Yeah. It's
smiling.
All like
the holiday queen. Just holding a beach ball. She's a lot of fun.
But yeah, that's pound sterling, and I was still like, I'll pay for everything because I felt like, yeah, Monopoly.
I can't believe this is fake. Not fake money. Don't call it fake money. It's not. Sorry for the people who guess it. It's not fake money. It's real money. But I didn't know
It is fascinating. And then you cannot spend it back in the UK. You have to change it back. So it really does feel
like,
fake.
Because like they're supposed to take Scottish money in England, but they don't always. But they're supposed to. Is it like that? Are they supposed to take Guernsey money?
Do they refuse it sometimes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they think you're trying to pull a fast one.
Oh, I've never tried.
Also, is it called Guernsey money? Because that sounds really funny.
Yeah. It's
called the Guernsey schmirk.
I'll only accept Guernsey schmucks for this apple.
What did you do, Lauren, right after you guys did the maths and realized what you had lost?
I mean, genuinely, like, we was like students, do you know what I mean? 80 quid in the student days, that's big money, isn't
that's
it?
That's huge money.
I actually felt a little bit heartbroken, and then I was like, great, now we've got to go and find a cash point. We've gone to a drug. Shall we take a taxi to the cash point? Probably not. Let's just walk it. I'll walk everywhere from now on. More public transport.
You got super fit for the rest of the holiday.
That was exactly it. Absolutely devastating.
Was there a culture of haggling? Like, were you supposed to try and argue them down?
I think so, which I don't know about you guys. I am terrible at haggling. Yeah. I am awful at it. I remember once we went to the market somewhere in Lincolnshire or something, and my other half really wanted this clock that was £5, and we decided £5 is much too expensive for a clock.
For a clock?
A normal alarm clock. There was nothing
special. But I love the fact he really wanted it.
He wanted that clock. So
I want to get up. I want to get up at a specific time. Yeah. I want that to beep at me.
And I want that clock to tell me.
Yeah. Like, you can go to Argos and get the same clock if you want. I want that clock. It's vintage. I was like, it's absolutely not. And I said, let me try and haggle with him. Can we have it for £3? No. £4? No. Okay. But How much do you want for it? £5. Okay, £5 it is. Shake on it here and there. Didn't get a single dime off of that clock.
But it felt like haggling.
It felt like haggling.
Because there is an exchange.
Awful at it.
I think it's still haggling, even if you play like the price that's on it.
Have you haggled for anything good?
I don't know that.
I have.
Oh, have you?
Well, so the thing is... So, oh, yeah. Well, so I went to India for a Sri Lankan wedding when I was 12. And everything is, it's the taxis. And the thing is, like, they can tell that you're not from there, like, when you look like me. And so you do get, like, the inflated prices. But even, like, the Indian family that we were with, because they've spent time in the UK, their accents aren't as strong. So the taxi drivers know that they're also not local because they, you know, the sort of British accents coming through a bit. Okay. So even they couldn't get, they got better prices than us, right. But they couldn't get the rock bottom prices that the locals could get. I'm very repressed, but when the culture is that you're supposed to haggle,
then
I'm not breaking any social norms. So then I feel like I'm allowed to, like...
Oh, see, I'm still just British through wherever I go. Like, that British politeness still follows me around.
That's an interesting point, because the only time I've really haggled, we were in India, and it was my first time there. And classic, like, the first few days, if you could have had the wanky little monologue in my head, like, I am a very privileged, middle-class, white woman, and I will not be haggling. And they
said that out loud, though, I'm sure.
I probably did. Is that why they swarmed on me and gave me really shitty jewelry? But that was genuinely, like, one guy at the market saw me pay for something, and eight people just came around me like, sucker. So by the end, but what helped is it was like, no, this is actually part of the culture. It's not me doing something wrong, but I had to make that leap, which is also a wanky white middle class woman, but whatever. I am what I am. But then by the end,
I am a wanker.
That's what you have to say at the start of every wanker meeting.
Why did that feel like something an American president has said? I am a wanker.
He would get all the votes as well. 100%.
We love that. We love that. That's different.
He's an authentic wanker.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, one thing that we offer, this is our offer to you, that we offer to our guest is, if you had the perpetrator here now, what would you say? What would you do? You've got total impunity, nothing.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, my first thought was this, okay? If I could see him again now, I would say, well done you. Yeah. Like you say, we're so up ourselves over in the West, right? And we're like, you know, we're like, oh my God, like, we're so great. He got me.
Yeah, good.
So I would say, do you know what, mate? Congratulations. Yes. You did me in. Fantastic. And then the second thing I would ask is, what did you spend that money on?
Ooh.
Because I'm hoping, I mean, the things there are so cheap. He might have well fed his family for a month.
Well, this is
and that makes me feel good. On the other hand, he might have gone out raving all night long and absolutely had the best night of his life. And I think also very good.
Yeah, I hope so. I always think, sometimes if I get, like, repeat fees from stuff, I always see that as kind of, like, silly money. That's money that I wouldn't have got before.
Yeah, that's like a bonus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm spending all of that on sweets. Like, of course I am. You don't have to actually. Yeah, I hope he went raving.
I hope he went raving. I hope he really enjoyed that money because he did it so well. I was so fooled. He deserves every single penny.
Well, sir, if you're listening... That is our little message to you.
Well done.
I've never called like a petty criminal a sir before. This is respectful, I like.
My liege, thank you. The opportunity to be ripped off.
My dude. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Can I say, I am absolutely loving this. As somebody who gets up very early in the morning to go on the radio, I'm loving having a bit of a daytime.
It's the time to do it.
Now it's time. For drunk women solving crime.
Now, I have brought for us today quite a famous crime, I must say. But I will also say, I didn't know much about this. I thought I did. No, I didn't even think I did. It's just one of those things that you will know the name of it. I don't know how much detail you might know. Let's find out. And it is a cold case. So we...
until today.
We for cold cases.
Okay.
We're about to make history.
They just didn't have us on the
They just didn't have us. So this crime involves gangsters, murder, and in a way... romance. First question, what crime do you think this might be?
Okay.
Gangster's Murder's Romance. I think it's something that maybe has been made into a film.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to put some romance in any story,
those are the
right?
ingredients for a film.
Exactly, for a pretty good film.
Yeah.
So, is it about Reservoir Dogs?
The most romantic film of all time.
I was so disappointed that film was not about dogs.
Oh, when...
Like just having a nice time at
just
a reservoir.
Really shoddy. Yeah.
Splashing around. So I think that my oh, maybe I'm going to go for Al Capone because he's a real
okay.
person.
Okay, wow. Okay, Al Capone.
I'm going to go Diamonds.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh. Which I appreciate is broader than Al Capone, but...
But arguably more romantic.
Well, this isn't, I
and Diamonds,
like
of course, was a notorious
if gangster. Gangsters, maybe they were smuggling the diamonds, and then one of them was like, I know, I'll give this one to my girlfriend, romance. Then he gets busted or something.
Okay. Like you're thinking. Lauren, any thoughts?
I'm trying to think of famous gangster things throughout history to give me a bit of inspiration. Mm. But you know the only thing that's coming to my mind right now? Do you remember The Bill?
Oh, do I?
And I'm thinking, did The Bill have gangsters, romance, and murder in it? I'm going to say probably yes, because it was elite Sunday night viewing,
yeah,
right?
100%.
Do you know what else I'm thinking is, what's that film recently with Lady Gaga in it?
Oh, the Gucci one.
Yes.
Oh, House of Gucci.
House of Gucci. Wasn't they like, I don't know if they were gangsters.
That is a very good guess, is actually. It? It really is. Yes, I like your thinking. I'm afraid none of you were... totally correct, although Hannah George...
Wait, what? The Reservoir Dogs!
But the real dogs that swim in the reservoir. It has a very sad ending. No, it is the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Oh, cheery! Oh,
cheery, cheery!
What this rings a bell.
Yeah, so for me, I'm like, yeah, everybody knows about that. And I was like, I knew nothing about this. So... I just have to tell you first, this is a nickname that I gave to a scene that I just happened upon in New York on Valentine's Day when I lived there. I was walking to work, so it's before 9 a.m., and I turn around the corner. This is like Upper East Side, just to like sprinkle the fairy dust, and I'm going to say about 4 dozen long-stemmed red roses had been yanked out of a box. The box was across the street, and someone had just bashed them against a utility pole. Like, it was just carnage, like beautiful carnage.
Wow.
But I would love to know, and if I'd just woken up, like, maybe 10 minutes earlier, who knows?
It's very Sex in the City, the movie vibes.
Isn't
there.
It?
And yeah. That is the biggest compliment you can give at anything.
Right?
What the hell happened? And so early in the morning, because that's desperate. That's desperate to give that many roses before 9 a.m.
And that's like 48 roses if I've done my maths. It's impossible, but
you
if I've done my maths.
You have done your maths.
48. Like, that's, yeah. Like, you've
and
got
expensive.
2 pounds.
Very expensive.
I did pick one up because it was still in pretty good shape. I didn't have a boyfriend at the time, so I'm like, I'll just take this for my damn self. Somebody's taking the thorns off and everything. And then I showed up to work with one rose.
One
who gave
rose.
Me that? A crime.
Also, it probably is a stalker, isn't it? That's like, someone said, stop, I don't want your roses. And then he had a fit and smashed the rose.
No.
I mean, sorry, that's...
That no, but that's poor, where my head went.
What's some
that
more tragic?
That poor guy just tried so hard. That's a lot of money.
What's more tragic Valentine's Day, though? Having a stalker or picking up a rose off of the street?
Lauren, what if I told you that those people were the same people?
What?
I'm the stalker, guys. This is my okay. Anyway, this
that's
is probably
a good choice.
This is probably the most infamous unsolved crime in U.S. history. That's the massacre, not the roses. Your next question is: in what year did the St. Valentine's Day massacre happen? Occur? I decided occur was too fancy, so I said happen just to fit in.
Well,
with
full
the kids.
Disclosure: I learnt a bit about this at uni, so I. Sort of vaguely remember things, but I remember seeing
sorry
a photograph.
To interrupt.
Go on.
But wasn't your uni degree a comedy degree?
It was, yeah.
In what subject did you learn Valentine's Day Massacre?
Yeah, to be fair, I think I chose it. Like, well, I think we were doing a thing on modernity, I think, and I chose gangsters.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I sort of wrote this thing about
so
about
it's a
gangsters.
Kind of film studies, kind of.
And it yeah. all led you here.
Yeah. To not remember a single fucking thing except what I do remember is I remember seeing a photograph of this, which is uh-huh. kind of pretty horrific.
Okay,
you don't really
clues.
Get that. So that gives me a little clue as yeah. to when it was. So
okay.
photographs had been invented, and probably cameras.
Okay.
What were they wearing? Were they like it couldn't really too trigger warning to...
top hats or
yeah. It was like I ran the world 1987.
She's given you the ultimate hint. Photographs had been invented.
But it was definitely cool gangster time. I mean, and I feel bad saying cool gangster.
Well, it's got to be the 1920s.
Okay. Do you want to go hone in on a specific year?
1921.
Okay.
So Lauren. Cool gangsters as opposed to uncool gangsters.
Yeah, who
was they came later. It was played and they carried on.
Basically like British gangsters. Yeah. Like anything.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. All the men in my local pub. No, that's not fair. I like my local pub now.
Now? What changed?
Oh, no, I just mean
the
like...
locals.
I meant like a generic pub where all the men are a bit like, watcha.
Yeah.
Like that was a really
Did
good impression
of mine. Did they get London gentrified? Yeah.
And then I just suddenly remember that now I live in a tiny village where actually the local pub is a beacon for community and...
Do they listen? Nice. Does the landlord listen to this, Katie? Because there's some serious backtracking.
And they are definitely gangsters from the way you're backtracking.
And they got really great chips and...
The Hertfordshire hitmen.
There's going to be a halloumi burger soon.
Oh, shit. Wow. Okay. Do not keep them on side. Wow, my God. Wow. Okay, 1921?
Yeah, 1924.
Okay.
1926.
Okay, it's 1929, you guys.
Oh,
yeah, okay. So it's the dead of winter. There's a dusting of snow on the ground. The stock market hasn't crashed yet. That'll happen in autumn, but they don't know it yet. But it is bang in the middle of what? Ooh.
Prohibition.
Prohibition is correct.
Smart. Really good.
And prohibition was obviously when the U.S. government made it illegal for women to speak. That's why there were speakeasies, because they're like, you can speak easy here.
Yeah, but do it quietly.
And respect quietly.
And not to a man unless he initiates it.
No, obviously it's when they made booze illegal. It lasted from 1920 to 1933, which went down really well, really smoothly. There were two main rival gangs in Chicago. So my next question is, what were, and you will find that this is not always the case, but largely, what were the two nationalities of these rival gangs? And for bonus points, there are no points. Name the leaders of those two gangs.
I'll be honest, I've never even watched like a gangster film, I don't think.
Oh, really? Like, just say a funny name with Dick in it. It's what we go
Muck,
for.
Punchy Chops.
Yes!
Is that correct? Oh my God, I knew it!
You've cracked the podcast.
Oh my God,
this is exactly what we want.
That's what they need to track down and find. Arrest him now. Jobs are good in. Let's
I
go
love
home.
The idea of having the surname book Punchy Chops and being like, I guess I'm going to be a gangster. Yeah. Well, I can't be a social worker.
Self-pursuing prophecy.
What is it like? I mean, having watched quite a few gangster films, is it Italian-American kind of, is one of the sides Italian?
Yes.
Okay. Genuinely the easiest one. So sorry about that.
Do you want to field who the leader might have been?
Capone?
Capone was indeed the leader.
Well done.
Breakfast Club.
I'm assuming your chair is what made that noise. She got so excited she let go.
Yes, it was the chair.
Any other guesses with the other gang? What country were most of them from? Or what was their heritage?
I don't want... I mean...
Irish gangsters, maybe?
Were
you going to say Irish?
Yeah. Ah. You know in West Side Story? Wait, that's not about...
Yeah.
They are kind of gangs.
Those are two rival gangs.
Well, I don't know what either of the gangs...
Puerto Rican. And... They were from...
So is it not Irish? Or are you just going to let Katie continue?
I just wanted to see where she was going with this. Yeah. Oh, no, and not at all. Yes, Irish. But as you will find out, there were many exceptions to this so-called rule, but this is kind of how they were known. So yes, the Italian gang was headed up by Al Capone. The Irish gang was headed up by Bugs Moran. Question, who would you rather fuck?
Oh...
You don't have to answer
no,
that.
No, I am thinking about it now.
We've all seen photos of Al Capone. The other guy's a wild card.
My friend who is on Tinder swears by Italian guys.
Okay. You got to think of the cuisine they might cook for you as well. That's where my head goes.
But the Irish will give you stew.
Ooh.
Which is quite a heavy meal before sex.
Before, yeah.
Is it not?
After, though.
Afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Stop
pre-sex
it.
Stew is
no,
full on.
But post-sex stew.
Sounds pretty cozy.
That's really nice. That's somebody taking care of you, isn't it?
Yes, warming.
And they took the time to slow cook it, which is really nice.
We're really picturing some sensitive Irish men that cook stew in the 1920s. I'm just...
Also, like, that's such a baller move just before you're about to fuck someone if he's like, I'm going to put the slow cooker on. Because this is going to... This is going to really...
Leave me, you're going to be hungry after this.
Yeah, 4 hours time, baby. It's Sting Irish.
Sting!
He can make love for hours, according to Sting.
He can be whatever you want him to be. Isn't that what Tantra is? Capone's gang ruled the south side of Chicago, and Moran's ruled the north side. They hated each other, to summarize. I didn't know what I had written down for a second, because I wrote, this is Mean Girls times five, guys.
That's pretty serious.
Wow.
But I wrote it and thought, this is Mean Girls times five, guys. Like, the burger place. Like, what the hell were you getting at? And then now I'm thinking, like, what a great place.
But also,
a burger joint with a Mean Girls theme? Mm-hmm.
Also, can we please have a crime film where they make each other fat with, like... Those bars.
Capone, you've really been putting it on. Uh-oh.
Capone's face smell like a foot. Stop trying to make massacres happen. They're not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, overheated in the studio. I remember that. Love it. Okay. There's a big source of tension between the gang leaders at this time, right before the massacre occurs. So can you just guess, this is pure speculation, what had happened back in December that made them especially pissed off at each other?
They didn't get nice Christmas presents.
The Secret Santa was fucked up.
It's got to be tough, Laura. Right?
Capone, stop getting me stewed. No, I did that the wrong way around. Damn it, it would have been good if I'd gotten it the right way.
Oh, is the romance that it's Valentine's Day, or is the romance that they're fucking each other's ladies?
Well, don't hold back from that if you think that might be...
I mean, there's nothing more romantic than fucking each other's side pieces, right? That's what.
And offering them a nice hearty stew afterwards.
Has there been a Julia Roberts film about that yet? Because I would watch that.
I've got to go somewhere else to get my spaghetti. You're no good at it.
Four funerals and a wedding would be what that would have to be. A gangster rom-com.
So we've got possible wife swapping / badly chosen Christmas gifts, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were saying that because that was the answer. Yeah. I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah, it was that casual. I'm like, Katie was spot on.
I mean, maybe is it something to do with their speakeasies and their kind of ways of getting booze in and out of Chicago, trade lines?
I think my serious answer is turf war.
This is Chicago. Do you know Chicago did good pizzas?
Very deep, very deep.
Is it that they were pizzeria competitors and someone had, you know, made a deeper pizza than the other guy? Do you know what I mean? It's kicking off.
Do you know what? When I look at pizzas and I think, do I want an Irish or an Italian pizza? Such a hard choice.
The Irish are really trying to move into that market.
What goes on an Irish pizza? Just lamb.
Oh, actually, I changed my answer. That sounds fucking awesome.
It doesn't sound
bad. Lamb pizza, yeah.
Thank you.
Surely someone's tried that.
Thank you.
A lamb pizza.
I think I've had a lamb pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not quite tough on the teeth.
Oh, mate, if you...
You gotta slow cook it. You gotta be with a man that can slow cook in bed to give the lamb time to break down the fibers. You asked if this was a musical podcast. Hannah George, what do you reckon?
Ooh, well, I think it was the trade stuff.
Was it the answer that you've already given?
Yeah, it was the sensible
answer. I will accept that. I got lost in the pizza wars. I love that. Like, Papa Capone is mad. You stole his recipe.
Become the dream.
I mean, in a way, all of these are pretty legit. There's definitely turf wars going on with bootlegging and intercepting each other's deliveries and all of that. But here's what had happened in particular. So Capone's guys had killed one of the Irish gangsters called Dean O'Banion. Now, Bugs Moran was not in charge of the North Side gang at this time. as recently as December, he was not heading up the gang. It was actually a man called Jaime Weiss, who was of Polish descent. And this is where the stereotypes just fall apart. Jaime's family had moved into an Irish neighborhood in the north side of Chicago. But although he wasn't Irish, he was Catholic, and like one out of two was enough for the gang because he was a badass.
But the Italians would be Catholic as well as the Irish.
I know, but they treated each other like it was a totally different religion.
Oh, okay.
Irish Catholicism versus Italian Catholicism. And this is fascinating.
So the Polish is closer to the Irish Catholicism?
I guess it was more about just growing up in the neighborhood and knowing the same people and kind of having the trust.
Okay.
And I think...
Gangs are lovely, aren't they?
Yeah. They're really, really sweet.
Real community. Nice family unit. Yeah. It's very important.
I almost think it was more like, I'm speculating, but it was more like anybody but an Italian. Like, I think that they were really prejudiced towards
That's where the lines were.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jaime was known as the only man that Al Capone feared, which is quite a title.
That is quite a title.
Yeah. Jaime and Bugs.
Did he not have, like, a piano teacher?
And then, like, he wasn't his PE teacher or dentist.
I went piano. It was
piano! Did you have a really scary piano?
He's just following him around.
No.
Fuck off.
Jaime and Bugs, those names together are really great.
You're so good.
Jaime and Bugs made an attempt on Capone's life while he was in a restaurant. Why do they do this?
Yeah.
That's like a personal affront to me. And there's all these gangster codes. Like, there's a surprising amount of, like, we don't do this, you never do that, you never rat this person out.
It's not on the code list.
You
can kill people in restaurants.
You can kill people. Why interrupt a meal? Like, just...
The thing is, though, on the flip side, if I'm going to die, I want to do it with, like, a mouthful of, like, mozzarella in my mouth. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? What a great
doing something that you love.
Looks like somebody's sleeping with Capone.
Just get all his good signs.
That's not a bad shot. And then if you're going to be gunned down, like, when are you more relaxed than mid-meal? Oh, I'm glad we worked this out. Thanks,
don't worry about it. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Future.
Well, now, when my assassins come for me, and oh, they will.
I love it because I would be like, you know, when in restaurants, if you get sat in the window, you're always like, it's because they put the good-looking people in the window. they put the people that are going to be assassinated in the window.
Yeah. They got tipped off that you were coming.
Stick her in the window, guys. She's got a lot of enemies.
So this assassination attempt, it obviously failed. Capone lives, but Capone gets his revenge. What did he do? This is still back in December, guys.
Well, he's got to make a real show of power, hasn't he? To be like, don't you fucking come for me again.
Especially when I'm eating ravioli.
The romance has not come into this yet, no?
That's just because it's St. Valentine's Day.
Fine, okay. I thought there might have been
Go looking for any more romance because it's not coming. Okay. It's just not coming.
Who does Samuels get with at the end of this?
I think Julia's going to pass on this project. Well, he's got a... I don't know, he burns a warehouse or he kills a load of their guys.
But you're completely right, though, that it has to be this huge... a huge power play. So does he do, an assassination back?
Yeah.
Or an attempt?
Or, like, oh, this is dark.
Go on.
Does he go for the wife and kids?
Is there a code about that?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Is there a code about that?
It isn't that, and I don't know if that was against code. I have a feeling it might have been, because otherwise it feels like these stories would have a lot of that.
I'm surprised you don't know the whole gangster code, to be honest.
Like, why didn't I memorize
it? Also, did anyone write it down? I feel like it's the sort of thing that you just don't do that.
Bugs, write this down.
Like, if gangsters were like women, there'd be a spreadsheet. It would be great, but...
You spelled women and children wrong. It is a huge power move. He kills Jaime.
The only guy that he fears,
he takes him down, and that's the only reason that Bugs Moran is now the head of the Northside Gang, because he was next in power, but he is not happy about how he got there. So there's a lot of tension.
Is that when Gordon Brown took over?
It's exactly like that.
He wasn't quite sure that he wanted to. Well, he probably wanted to be there, but. Okay, so he's the deputy prime minister.
I haven't heard the name Gordon Brown for a long time.
I know. I like my references, Mean Girls. I like sort of like early 2000s.
I made fun of President Bush in one of our live shows, and I don't even know which Bush it was. Like, it might have been the original one. Like,
I didn't even know there was multiple Bushes. Bush
Eye. Two Bushes.
Two Bushes.
Two Bushes. Two Bush Eye. Ooh. Anyway, I'm still reeling, and then it got so much worse. See, I'm still talking about it. Oh, I've been alive for a long time. Okay. The massacre takes place at 10:30 a.m. on February 14th, 1929. Six men from Bugs Moran's gang met up somewhere that morning to receive a shipment of a certain type of booze. Where were they? What sort of location? And what type of booze were they getting a shipment of?
Lambrini, and it's a hen party.
Yes! Spot on.
I knew it. I thought I wanted to do a looked camera and a podcast.
She did it.
Did they have Lambrini back in the 1920s?
How far does Lambrini go back?
Vintage Lambrini, darling.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
I didn't know about Lambrini until I moved over here. So I think it's a UK thing, right? Or a European
I remember
thing.
The advert was Lambrini girls just want to have fun. Lambrini gangsters also want to have fun. Why should they be omitted from the fun? Just because they're gangsters,
right?
You know?
So Lambrini, hen party, location, type of booze.
I'm thinking, where's a good place for a massacre? Like, if you're going to do it, where would you want to take down multiple people?
That's why there are massacre planners.
All right, okay. It's the docks. Is Chicago landlocked?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's on Lake Michigan.
Okay,
so
it's the docks of Lake Michigan.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it's vodka.
Nice. Ooh. Very nice.
I'm going to go a shipment of Jaeger bombs.
The full bomb.
The bombs of command. And you know, said earlier it was snowy.
Yes.
Ooh.
So I think they wanted to make a scene. Okay. They wanted to make an impact. So they've gone out into like a snowy field. They've done the gunning down, blood everywhere. And the Jaeger bombs. A splash of black. And that now is like a Jackson Pollock.
Wow. That is quite an image.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who was closest.
I'm going to change my answer to gin.
Okay. No, you were right.
Funnily enough as well, is like having seen the picture, I feel like there's a brick wall behind them. I was thinking, well, it's got to be a wall. And then I'm like, well, where's that?
A hen party.
Anywhere.
China.
Yeah, anywhere at all. Yeah.
So they were in a garage.
Oh.
Tell me how you say garage.
Garage.
I've lived here
Southerner.
I'd say, now you've all said it in different ways. Garage?
Where are you from?
Isle of Wight.
Oh, very southern.
No, is that southern? No,
yeah, super southern.
Is that southern I just said, which is not a sentence?
Drunk women solving crime.
Kermit the Frog here. It's time for our patron shoutouts. You can check us out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Cookie Monster's here too. Cookie going to shout out the names.
And I'm Elmo, but I can't read.
Okay, we're ready? Kermit, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Elmo, you ready?
Yes, I love names.
Okay, Gwen Foster, Sarah Hewitt, Sophie, Anthony Proctor, Lois Mills. Thank you so much for your support. Now I go eat cookie.
Yes, we will go get a snack.
I like snacks. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And it was whiskey.
Oh, okay.
Good old whiskey.
I hate whiskey.
Oh, really? Oh, I like it in an old fashioned.
Yeah. Loads of sugar and some orange flavor.
Yeah, exactly. I like a squash.
It is good. I like an old fashioned.
Yeah.
That's what I discovered. I got a drink once that was whiskey, and I'm like, I'm going to be a grown up, but it had maple syrup and bacon in it. And I'm like,
oh my God,
this is great.
it's like a kid's party drink.
It's called the pancake. Oh my God. All right. Now these men, just to set the scene, it's 10:30 a.m., but they wore suits, ties, tie pins, shiny dress shoes. One of them had a carnation. I can't even get out of my PJs for morning deliveries. Like, these guys were so fancied up.
Yeah, they got to do their killing in their finest outfits.
Yeah. Well, they were only planning, as far as we know, the men who are gathered here were only planning to intercept this whiskey. But we don't know entirely.
So the payback was just intercepting the whiskey, and then it all goes wrong, is it?
Well, let's see. Let's see. I'm just thinking of all the photos. You know how they take photos now when they deliver stuff in the morning?
Yeah.
I would do anything to intercept all. I guess technically I have access to them if they're my deliveries, because I want to make a montage of me with my bare feet.
They've got your person on those pictures. Surely they belong to you, right?
Yeah, I should think so.
No, whoever took the picture owns the picture.
What? That's
this is what happened with that monkey that took the selfie. It's like, well, the monkey owns the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
I never thought we'd veer into this. This is why.
Here we copyright.
So around the corner comes a vehicle. It's a black Cadillac, which several witnesses believe to be a police car. That's how they described it. Eyewitness accounts vary, but four or five men, five guys, got out of the car. How were these men dressed? The ones who exited the car.
So are they the ones coming to collect the whiskey?
Yeah.
No.
They're the ones coming to kill the guys.
Yes.
Oh, so the well-dressed ones were the ones collecting the whiskey?
They were. They were just waiting for a shipment.
Okay.
I don't know why they were dressed up. Again, I'm just going to keep harping on this. Why are you trying so hard?
Well, either they were tipped off or they wanted to look like they were proper businessmen and they couldn't possibly be smuggling whiskey. Or that they just like to look nice.
The thing is, if I was going to do some killing or be involved in some potential killing, I wouldn't want to put my best shirt on. Because you're going to have to take that home, dry clean it, iron it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I was arriving to the scene, I would go tracky bottoms. You know, like keep
it. Yeah, something that's easy to wash.
Right.
Lockdown.
Maybe,
clothes.
You know, even if it's, you know, get some really cheap ones, like secondhand or like
it's going to get dusty.
It's going to get wrecked. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love that the equivalent at that time were like 1920s pajamas. Like the idea of them all coming out in like little striping.
They'd probably still
lapels.
Be silk or something.
I know,
yeah.
They'd be all silky.
I'm going to go opposite though. I'm going to go that they were dressed even better.
Okay.
Yeah, because they just like.
What's better than a pinstripe?
Top hat.
Yeah.
They were just the
They were the Monopoly men.
They were the Monopoly men.
So I'm going to go different again. They were in like overalls, like they were the bin men, or they were like all dressed like they're about to go and play tennis, like spies do or something.
Oh, disguise. I hadn't even thought about disguise.
Well, Katie's on. She's thinking along the right lines because other than the driver, who I will describe in a moment, they were dressed as police officers.
Clever. Yeah.
You gave us a massive clue by saying people thought it was a police car. What else would make you think it was a police car? Probably the five policemen.
There is a policeman there. Yeah.
But the driver was wearing a chinchilla fur coat and a gray fedora.
I want to fuck him. I don't know about anyone else. Yeah. I found my guy in this story.
Absolutely. Hey, Chinchy. An eyewitness on the street was close enough to observe something unusual about the driver's hand. What do you think they noticed?
Either it was holding a gun or it was wrapped in a bandage.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
I mean, it's already odd enough that he was in the chinchilla and the fedora. Like, if you were the policeman, you'd be so pissed off. Like, mate, can you just put the policeman outfit on? Just, like, blend in, help us out here. But it said, no, I want to go as, like, a big pimp daddy.
Yeah, this is a plainclothes police outfit. Come on.
Don't forget your chinchilla coat so you blend in.
Yeah. Oh my God. This This is what civilians wear, right?
To garages, yeah.
I love the idea that a gangster wouldn't know, though. Like, what's plain clothes? These are my plain clothes.
These are what I chill in.
Oh, that's the scene you need in like one of the gangster movies, just to make them all a bit more real, a bit more human.
Yeah. Jimmy, no.
I just love this coat. Let me wear it, please. Let me wear it.
Yeah, it's like it's snowing, guys.
Actually, yeah, he was sensibly attired for the weather. Mm-hmm. And we all laughed at him, but he was warm.
He was warm.
But what was wrong with his hands?
Yeah.
I mean,
what was unusual?
It must have been so odd if he was wearing that getup and she still was like, whoa, what about that guy's hat? The fuck is up
it's
with his
be
hands?
Like a sock puppet or something. It's not like, yeah, a kind of punch and
you probably shouldn't
deal.
Do that. I know.
I warned you about the cone. You look like a dickhead.
It's too much. No, it's not.
Yeah, there's your movie.
Sock puppet gangster. Yes, please. Edinburgh
there's
show.
There's an idea in that for sure.
Every show we come up with an award winning
idea.
Listen,
one of them's going to land. One of them is going to land.
One of these days. So any other guesses? What was unusual about his hand? If we've had any guesses, we've had sock puppet.
Bandages.
Bandages gun. We've had, yeah, and gun.
Is he missing a few fingers?
Yeah,
fingerless.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh.
He only had three fingers, and they were splayed. I don't know which three fingers
splayed.
They were.
I hate that you
splayed.
That word.
I know, it's never good.
Splayed. I've never heard it used in a good sentence.
Never positive.
I've just splayed this roast chicken. Does that work? Like splaying
it? I don't want to eat that chicken. Let me tell you.
Well, Sunday is going to be ruined, Cody.
Can you splay this chicken before you take it out?
Splay kind of mean. What does splay even like, mean? Like opening.
Spread.
Yeah, I'd open spread. A chicken out spread. And eat it face first. Guys, I haven't had dinner, so.
I don't even know how we're on the chicken. So, yeah. Now, the owner of the garage was a mechanic called Johnny May, who was on lookout, and Johnny's dog, Highball, was also tied to the axle of a truck inside. Why didn't Johnny raise the alarm that morning that these men were entering?
He was in on it.
Ooh.
Oh, my God, this is like the detective agency we would run. Amazing. Guys, I've had an idea.
It would be very Panto.
Sassy.
Which is how it should be.
Yeah.
Stuff would get done. I'm telling you.
Did the dog make a fuss? Is that what happened?
Right? Oh, the dog distracted him.
Yeah, he was just thinking, I need to take him out for a wee.
Old Highball kicking off.
My focus is completely gone now because all I'm thinking is that I don't want a dog involved in this massacre.
Yeah.
Yes.
Please tell me there's a happy ending to this story. Please.
I mean, not for like 15 mess. Men.
Not for them.
Killed,
I didn't mind about them, but for the dog, please. I beg.
The dog lives, Lauren. Okay, I'm not going to keep you in suspense.
Thank God.
Wow. Dog was spared. Is that gangster code? I don't know. Do no harm to dogs.
Actually,
dog
it could
done
be
anything.
Because they break it in John Wick, don't they?
That's so true.
I've never seen that, and I know. No, I'm not going to watch it.
Oh,
now.
You don't want to watch it?
No, now that I've known that.
No, you do want to watch
it. Yeah, Jonathan Wicked is
who
an incredible
is John?
Friend.
Because you'll be so happy about what he does because that happens.
Oh,
it's a revenge.
Sweet, sweet doggy revenge.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah.
It's Keanu Reeves as well, so it's nice.
I was going to say it's Denzel Washington, but no.
This is all speculation, of course, because we don't have anyone who ever testified about what happened inside, but they think that it was just because they were so credibly dressed as police officers that the mentality will be don't tip us off because we don't want to kill police officers, we'll just pay them off. That's all you need to do in Chicago in 1929. Yeah, so like, all right, go on
so
through.
So it's a different playbook for police. So they've exploited, so now their guard is down, or at least it's like for like, okay, police playbook.
It's
rather
the
than quick defend
so
ourselves.
Clever.
It's the smartest outfit to wear at this time, really. What did the intruders make the seven men, so it's six of the Northside gang and this mechanic, what did they make the seven men inside the garage do before they killed them?
Oh, God.
What a dark question that is. Until I read it out, I'm like,
really
pet the dog.
A good highball. You're such a good highball.
That's what I'd do.
Hang on, so what did the well-dressed gangster lot make the police do?
No, the police
the,
are
the
making
police
the well-dressed.
The police are making the well-dressed men inside do something. It's basically how did they assassinate them.
Having seen the picture, it's the YMCA. it's not that. I carry on because I think I know. But
you're trying to put levity in. It's good. No, because it's so horrible.
It's so dark.
No, I know. It's
Johnny,
dark.
Are you listening to me? They're not officers.
Did they make them kill each other or anything?
Oh, no. It's just that. I don't know why I asked this question though, because it's not even unusual. They made them line up against the wall, and that's why Hannah's memory is
okay.
Famously, it's this brick wall,
and then it's just execution style.
Yeah, Tommy guns, crazy. I don't know how Johnny didn't see the Tommy guns coming in. I guess would police officers have been that armed? They could have been.
Ooh, good question.
Because I was just picturing these big guns.
Yeah, it's a really amazing predator move. Like, it's very horrible.
I can think about, though, is that they're lined up against the wall and one's in the shape of a Y and one's...
I mean, if anything, I've improved the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
It's made it cheerful.
Yeah.
You know.
How many people can say that?
You know.
You have.
Well done.
And anyone that still sings that song, that's how it should always end. Now, none of the members of this Irish gang were Irish. They were the following. There were two brothers called the Guzenberg brothers. One of them was called Frank. I didn't write the other one down. Sorry, other guy. Albert Kachalek, Frank Snyder, Albert Weinschenk, and Reinhard H. Schwimmer, who was just an eye doctor who liked to hang out with the gang for the bragging rights.
Oh, no.
That's a dangerous thing to do.
Sometimes I do struggle to have sympathy for these people, though, because I think, what are you doing on Saturday? Just hanging out with some known gangsters. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Not a good idea. I called him Jimmy. I meant to say Schwimmer. Schwimmy.
Yeah, Irish ones, the ones that have just been shot, or are they dressed as police?
Yes, the Northside gang are the quote-unquote Irish gang, but none of them in this garage are actually Irish. But they're all part of the gang.
Oh, right, yeah, no, they were good. They tried to kill Capone, and then he killed the head guy.
Yeah.
And then this is them getting back at the... No.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know what's actually happened, and we still technically don't know.
So they've... Yeah, they've come in the nice clothes.
I mean, look, let's be fair. They were all in nice clothes. Everyone looked nice that day. Well, let's get to the sort of the motive and the speculation about what happened, because we still to this day don't definitely know, but we think we probably know. So let's get there. Highball lives.
Yes.
I wrote that
down.
I had to let you know earlier.
Do you know, you'd highball. Get a lot of unhappy people if the dog had died.
I wouldn't have included it. I genuinely wouldn't include it unless he lived. The dudes, whatever. a few witnesses saw the men fleeing the scene, getting into the Cadillac, and they too noticed that they were police officers, so didn't think much of it, and the car zoomed away. A neighbor discovers the bodies and notices something. What did he notice when he entered and saw all these victims?
Was it a glove puppet again? Someone else had another.
It was a sock puppet that was just independently singing.
Wow,
it was really creepy.
Any control?
So is it something on top of the fact that they see six
dead guys?
It's to
do with the victims.
So did they take their nice shoes?
No.
Because I'm thinking, they've gone down the ones in the nice clothes, right? The police have
gunned down the ones in the nice clothes.
Now I'm thinking, shoes at that time, pretty spenny.
Pricey.
So if I was going to... I probably wouldn't bother undressing them all, because that's kind of morbid, but I might just take their shoes.
Mm.
Okay, but only of somebody that was like a similar size to you.
Which would be hard, because I have got the feet of a child. I get children's Nikes. So
you would kill children, is what you're saying?
Yeah, anyway. If it means I get my hands on expensive shoes, I'm on.
Look, you're just thinking practically, and I appreciate that. You're like, I'm going to go on Vinted. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of all these matching shiny shoes. Why do you have these?
Don't ask questions.
I feel like this might have something to do with it being a message. I feel like that's what gangsters do. You don't do retaliation. You don't do revenge unless... people know it's you, which is weird. This is a cold case.
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, sometimes if someone's a grass, they'll shoot them in the mouth.
Ooh.
Yeah, just to say that's what he did.
Mm.
So these guys had, I don't know, did they put, like, a bread roll on them because it was to do with the restaurant?
Well, what they noticed is that one of the men was still alive. He was taking his last breaths, but lived long enough for them to call the sergeant. The sergeant comes in, rushes to the scene, and speaks to Frank Guzenberg, and he asked Frank, do you know me, Frank? And Frank said, yes, you're Tom Loftus, and I won't talk. Because that's another gangster code. Even if you can identify who's taking you down, you never spill to the cops. You never give them up to the cops because it's between this gang and that gang, and we deal with it internally.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
They don't recognize the authority of the police.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
They
but they'll dress as them and use it as a ruse.
Sure, you'll wear their clothes. So a press shit show ensued because they actually published these photos, which you have seen, and they are, even to this day, they're in black and white, they're grainy, but they are so gruesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And graphic, and it's crazy thing that that was just splashed across newspapers. And even for a time when press was getting pretty sensationalized, this was over the top, and this made America furious because they were already, you know, upset about the gang wars. They wanted the president and the FBI to do something about it already. So they had to pin it on somebody. Who was the obvious choice of who to pin it on?
Oh, Bugsy.
No, Bugsy's guys have just been killed.
No, but not Bugsy. Bugsy's still alive.
Oh, he took out his own men?
No, they got to pin it on somebody.
Yeah, but why would he kill his own men?
No, he didn't, but they pin it on him.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, that's what you asked, right?
No, I did. I was just trying to get on board with you, thinking that's interesting.
I mean, it's quite clearly sick wrong to think that way in many ways.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
No, sorry. I thought you were still confused about whose guys have been killed.
We don't have time. Let me just get that straight in my head.
So, I mean, it's going to be Al Capone, right?
It was Capone. Because he was the poster boy for, if we can get rid of this guy, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
And so there was a whole lot of effort to try to arrest Capone for this massacre, but they could never find enough evidence to arrest him.
That's kind of his sweet spot, right? Like, that's well, because they got him on tax evasion, didn't they? So it's kind of like...
They did, indeed. And they even questioned his hitman, and when they asked him, like, were you involved in this, he just laughed, and he said, if any of those guys had seen me coming, I'd be dead. I wouldn't be alive. There's no way I could have snuck in there.
The police questioned his hitman, and I was like, surely you don't go, like, we're bringing his hitman in. We're pretty sure.
This has kind of always been pinned on Al Capone. There were some other theories. Some of the people in the neighborhood maintain, like, we think the cops actually did it. We think it was genuinely police officers, that they took them out to, you know, fire up Capone and make him retaliate and try to take him down.
Okay.
But a book written in 2010 called Get Capone, written by Jonathan Eag, shed some new light on the case, and it had to do with a detail that had either been ignored or buried.
Okay.
You make up your own mind.
In
2010.
That's mental.
Digging up the records, because this is all kept on record and there were lots of theories, but there were all these leads that apparently got followed and there was nothing there. So there's a lot of question about, the corruption in this case and how well did the police even investigate this? All of those questions come to light. Remember a certain detail about the driver?
Yes, the fingers.
The fingers. So, for whatever reason, that eyewitness testimony just sort of got ignored. It didn't come up during the case. Like, shouldn't we be looking for a three-fingered man?
Yeah, right?
A man called William Three-Fingered Jack.
Brilliant. How did they miss that guy?
William Three-Fingered Jack White. He was sort of an independent gangster, which I like because it's less corporate.
Okay. He's for hire. Yeah.
You know.
Kind of making his own way.
Well done. He's like the corner shop gangster. Capone's Walmart. Like, come on, let's be real. So White's cousin.
Can I just say that, like, Three Fingers is a better, like, nickname for a man? You don't want to be Hannah Three Fingers George at high school.
No, that's...
Anyway.
That's true. Because
not again.
The reality is so much more. Hello, Isle of Wight. Just kidding. Okay.
Mean Girls is actually a good name for a gangster film, a female gangster film. Female,
yeah.
Mean Girls. Yeah. Like, anyway, carry on.
They'll all have three fingers as well. That'll be their MO.
So White's cousin had been shot by someone in a bar months earlier. And when White visited him in hospital, his cousin told him that the man who shot him was Frank Guzenberg, who was the man whose last words were, and I won't talk. Now, he was a member of Northside Gang, as we know, and White had been known to use police disguises to pull off heists in the past. So all this evidence was right there, and it never came to light in the trial. So it's quite likely that William Three-Fingered Jack White was simply getting revenge for his murdered cousin. It had nothing to do with Capone's gang.
Okay. Oh.
There's one other, I will leave you with this. There's one other detail about White's murdered cousin, which might explain why so many leads in the case went ignored by police. What do you think that detail is?
He's a cop.
Okay, he's a cop.
He's on the inside.
Okay. You're very, very close.
Is he a dog?
He's a dog.
Is he a member of the Village People?
Yes, he's the least offensive one.
There is a police one.
Right.
Katie, I'm going to give it to you because he was the son of a copper. So there was just a bit of like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's to corruption, guys. Yay! Well done.
Corruption.
Well done.
Drunk women solving crime.
Here's our listener crime. Ooh. This was sent in by Batsheva, who is a loyal American fan. Thank you. I hope you'll be able to solve this case that's been bothering me since 1988. Mm. I was working at an assistant at a posh Upper East Side, which is where I found all the roses. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Coincidence.
A posh Upper East Side girls' private school and was barely making ends meet. So I was elated when one of the mothers, whose husband was one of Bruce Springsteen's managers, bestowed upon me two tickets to see the boss at Madison Square Gardens. I'd never seen him live before, so I was over the moon. The day of the show, I had the tickets in my purse, and I put my purse behind my desk where I always kept it. After school, another school had come to ours for some event. I stepped out of my office for a bit. And when I went to get my purse, I discovered that my concert tickets were no longer there.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
This is my favorite line. I think my bank and credit card were missing too, but I don't remember because the main thing was that my free Bruce Springsteen tickets were gone. I frantically and sobbingly called the woman who had given them to me to find out what the seat numbers were. She didn't know, which made it a problem when I asked another teacher who also had two tickets to keep a lookout at the gig. I was devastated. Now she sent in her suspect list, but I would love to hear what your theories are about where the boss tickets went.
And she said it was a private girls' school.
Yeah.
So I love the idea that it's just these 12-year-olds going, I must see
the boss.
See,
right.
I've got to see Springsteen. I've got to. I just need to.
Do you want to see Justin Bieber?
No. Springsteen, please.
An old man in his 70s, yes, please.
Although 88, he'd have been...
Yeah, Bieber was like negative 20.
Oh, yeah. Fine. Okay, this is well back. Okay, fine.
I mean, Springsteen would have been.
Because he's always been with us, Bieber.
I was going to say, I would love to see Fetus Bieber. What a spectacle that would
Bieber.
Be.
That would be like a great thrash metal band, and it's just the artwork
Bieber.
Is Justin Bieber.
Can they just cover Bieber songs? Baby.
You know what we were saying earlier about great ideas? Yeah. You have just stumbled upon another one. There's definitely a market for that.
God, this podcast keeps going.
And we've already recorded the first.
Yeah, we are just the people to do that.
Who do you think took it? So we've got, another school coming in.
Mm, yeah.
You've got another teacher who has two tickets.
Mm, suspicious.
You've got posh girls. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was wanging on about it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because I think if you're wanging on about it, then people know, your class knows, and that might be a way for the posh girls, those little bitches...
With their entitlement.
With their entitlement, their money.
Yeah.
To get the tickets. And maybe it's not for them, but they might take it home to their parents and go, thank you for putting me through private school. I've got you these. Aren't I an angel child?
Yeah, now you can't ground me ever again.
Oh, there's mean girls and then there's meanest girls. I immediately blamed the other school. I'm like, outsiders every time. What? But why would they go for a purse that's hidden?
It's unusual, isn't it? That's like the only thing that's different. And her bag's not been robbed every single time. And
it
then something's different.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like someone took a chance and it happened to be the day that she had the Springsteen tickets because they took her cards as well. It wasn't like they only took the Springsteen tickets.
We're assuming even though I love that she doesn't really remember that part.
I don't believe
I bet they didn't even use the tickets. I bet they scalped them, the greedy bastards.
We're assuming that whoever scalped them was a Bruce Springsteen fan, but that is maybe a bit unlikely.
Well, her suspect list I shall read now. Someone from the visiting school, another teacher who knew I was gifted the tickets, my entitled boss, who was a real bitch. Someone who worked at the school who wanted to scalp them, and then she just put question marks. Oh my gosh.
Actually, that the lady, read the first one again, that lady that didn't like her or something. Say the...
Another teacher who knew I was gifted the tickets?
Yes. What if that person is jealous because this parent didn't give her the tickets?
Yes.
And she's like, I'm a really good school worker. Ooh. Why are you so special getting tickets?
Yeah, because she's an assistant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why did she get this special
it's
treatment?
Like, yeah, that's not fair. You don't deserve it. I'm gonna take them off you because it's not fair.
I think that checks out. And I'll help myself to your bank card while I'm at it. Oh, there's no money in the account.
Yeah.
Because you're making ends meet. Well, I hope that helps. We end a lot with
what,
hope
what
that
happens
helps.
Now in that situation?
We have to go to court. Are you free
next week?
What, next week?
Next Tuesday.
Busy.
I think they've said,
is the boss still alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going.
We can retroactively arrest these people.
Well,
he's friends with Obama.
Oh, yeah, they do a podcast.
But listen, there's a happy ending to this.
Oh.
Because I was so hysterically crying to the mom, she gave me another pair of tickets.
Oh, yay.
To see him for the following night in an even better section. I took my friend Jean.
Come on, Jean. It's the whole thing with Jean.
And she is still one of my dearest friends today.
Oh.
For a time, I had to cut out a whole other plot line, which is she was going to take this guy from the Midwest who she had a crush on, and this was going to like seal the deal. And then she'd be like, I don't have the ticket. Somebody stole them. And she's like, it's probably better. It didn't work out. There, I fit it in anyway.
Nice.
Oh, Jean.
To Jean, everybody.
To Jean.
Cheers, Jean. Well done.
Right.
To friendship.
Well done, guys. Well done. Lauren, we have just enough time to ask, where can we find you? What have you got coming up? What would you like to plug?
If you're up at an unholy hour, you're welcome to tune into Capital 4 to 6 a.m. Are you?
My kids are nutcases.
Oh my God, I can only sympathise. I'm really sorry. Do you want me to just get them onto Capital? They'll bloody love that.
So what time are you on?
4 a.m.
No, that does sometimes happen.
Oh my God, sickening. This is why I'm not ready for children. So you can join me there. You might see my face pop on the BBC's One Show from time to time. And otherwise, I'm just hanging around online trying to be more popular at Lauren Layfield.
Yay! Thanks, Lauren.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, guys. We are back. Studio Burn with Lauren Layfield.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.